We're going to be in Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. And this will make sense in a moment. You know, it says in the word, many places actually in the New Testament, it says that Jesus went about teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing. You know, teaching and preaching, you can do that. Pretty much anyone can probably do that. You can get up and you can teach, you can share facts. Preaching, I don't know. For it to have power, of course, that has to be the Holy Spirit. But anyone can get up and do that. But who can heal? So right away we have a testimony of Christ that he had this power and this strength to do something that no one else has ever done and can ever do. Not Krishna, not Buddha. I won't go on, but you understand. There's many religions out there, and they teach a lot of stuff. To me, honestly, a lot of it sounds like nonsense, but I'm sure to some people it probably makes some sense. Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. And he told his disciples when he sent them out to do the same. We'll come back to that. You know, I was talking to a couple of guys at work, and it just dawned on me. I said, you know, I tried to get into this conversation with them about Christ, about meaningful things, heart things. Have you ever done that? Have you tried with your neighbors or your friends to talk about the things of the heart? No one wants to do that anymore. And so I was talking with my friend and I said, well, why is that? What's going on here? And you know, it dawned on me as we spoke that over years and years and years, we've fostered this disposable culture. You know, we go to McDonald's and we buy a Happy Meal or whatever we buy. We eat some piece of it and then we throw all of that away. And then the next day we go and get the same thing again and it's identical. And if we don't like McDonald's, we go to Wendy's or we go to some other place. So we have this disposable culture and we have options. We have choices. If I don't like McDonald's, I go to Wendy's. If I don't like Wendy's, I go to Burger King. I'm using fast food as the example. And that's become our culture. And so now when people want to start talking about meaningful things, they get nervous because that means you got to talk about right and wrong. Oh, wait a minute. But if I talk about right and wrong, I might offend somebody and then they'll dispose me. Because you know what? They'll just go find another friend. And then where will I be? They'll just dispose me. They'll cancel me. We use that word a lot, right? And we're in that culture where people are disposable. It's just come year upon year. It's just become this culture. If you play games or you watch TV or whatever you do, you just get the next one and you leave the other one. Man, don't even remember it. It's as good as it never happened. And the same with people. Right? And so we're in a world where people are disposable. Man, it's a good thing we have a Savior who taught and preached and healed. But we'll come back to that. We're in Hebrews 11, 23. And you'll see why we're here in a minute. It says in verse 23, I'm working on my enunciation, forgive me. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, is what my translation says, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Moses. Who is Moses? Well, you know, the reason that I thought we would look at Moses is there's this idea of strength today. You know, people are looking for meaning and purpose. They don't want to talk about the meaning and the meaningful things, but they want it. We all do. We all know that we want meaning in our lives and we want purpose. And so instead of talking about meaningful things and exploring them, what they do is they focus on rights. Yeah, I'll be a fight. I'll fight for rights because that's a good thing to do. And I'll fight, and I'll fight for things on the outward instead of dealing with the things on the inward. And so the focus becomes on outward things, appearance, and so many other things. They're fighting, rightly so. They know they want meaning. They know that there's right and wrong, even though they would never tell you that. They would never tell you that, yes, there is absolute right, there's absolute wrong, but they know it. And so there's this sense, let's fight. Let's fight for what's right. Let's be strong. Well, let's look at someone who was strong and see how he dealt with it. We're talking about Moses. And Moses was very strong, but in Numbers 12, verse 3, and don't go there, but I'll tell you, it says, this is Moses writing about himself, because Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Torah, right? So he wrote that, and in Numbers he wrote that, and it says that Moses, speaking of himself, was the meekest man alive. That's what it says. Pretty humble. The meekest man alive. The meekest man alive. And so why would we look to Moses as a figure of strength? Well, I think you know. I mean, of course, Moses was the man, the singular man that God used to lead the entire nation that is now under attack, by the way, again and again and again and continually under attack by the enemy. And it is the enemy at work right now. Let there be no doubt. The enemy wants to wipe God's chosen people off the face of the earth, and he's at it again. Moses led them out. And because I'm cutting this in half, I'm not going to go through Moses' history very much, but we know that they went in 72 people and Moses leads them out. In fact, the Bible gives us the exact figure, 603,550 men above the age of 20, and then all the children and all the women. So we're looking at a good 2 million people probably. They go in 72. Moses, by God's power and leading and guidance, leads them out, and God leads the whole nation out of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the place that sought to wipe them off the face of the earth, right? Because the Pharaoh, the king who did not know Joseph anymore, he was new, a Hyksos king probably, came in and said, whoa, 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 these guys are too many. We are going to wipe them out before they take over. And so we're going to kill the firstborn, and I can't go into all that. But God raises up this man, Moses. And it says he was meek. Well, what does meek mean? Well, you know, you'll hear a lot of definitions, and I think probably there are. A lot of times you'll see that same word translated, humble. Humble, rightly so. Humble is a fair word there. And humble itself is something we could talk about for a while, but I want to focus on meek. I think meek is a good word. You might also say gentle. The best definition that I've ever heard for the word meek or gentle in this term is someone that is willing to accept injury and not inflict injury. Now you think about that for a moment. You can see how that would be considered to be meek. If I pick on someone, I attack them, and they don't even fight for themselves. They don't fight back. They don't inflict injury on me. They're wimps, right? They're babies. They're a bunch of big babies. They're not strong. Really. They're not strong. Because, you know, it says of Jesus. Now, this is Moses talking about himself. He says, I was the most meek man that lived at that time. At that time, Jesus came and he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. Meek. Jesus called himself meek. In Isaiah, it says he was lowly. He was meek, right? And yet, we know in this room, and maybe there are people here who don't yet understand this, that the strongest decision you could ever make is not to inflict injury, but is to bring healing, but is to heal. And that is what Jesus did. He taught, he preached, and he healed. Now, the immediate thing we think of is, yeah, he healed people of their physical disabilities. He healed the withered hand. He healed the paraplegic, right? Yes, he did. He did. He did much of that. But healing of the body is not what matters. These bodies are temporary. They are going to suffer. These bodies will suffer. And so healing of the body is a great thing. It's awesome, and it's a great testimony, and that's why Jesus did it. But the healing that matters is the healing of the soul, the healing of the heart, right? And that is also what Jesus did. Teaching and preaching, he healed human hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. And so Moses comes and it says he was born and his parents were not afraid of the king. Okay, so we know they were wise. They were Kohathites through the line of Kohath, right? Amram was his father, Moses' father. Jochebed was his mother. Miriam, Aaron, brother and sister, right? We know those things. It says in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, probably, we know, in fact, in this case, that of age is 40 years old. It says he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we can't go into the whole story, but what happens is at 40 years of age, Jesus decides that he is, I'm sorry, Moses decides that he is going to make a big decision here, and his decision is going to be not to continue to be in the Pharaoh's court. He's going to take a step out. And we know, again, that he sees the two men fighting. At the time, he's 40 years old. He thinks, all right, I'm gonna deliver my people now, right? And we know that that does not happen. In fact, they kind of say, who are you? what? Get over yourself. Like, you think you're able to deliver? What? Who are you? And so he goes, and we'll learn, as we know already, actually, that he goes and he departs. And then in verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In 25, we see, actually, 25, 26, and 27, we're going to see, I'm sorry, 24, 25, and 26, we're going to see refused, choosing, and esteeming. So first we see refused, and then we see that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He's made a choice. It's a difficult choice. It took strength. It took strength of character. He decided, look, you know what? Egypt, like the world today, is the picture of success. I could be the CEO. I could take over Apple. I could take over Amazon. I could be a prince. Those are our princes, you know. Those are our modern day princes in America. You know, they have everything. Wow, they did it. They made it. And he says, no. And that takes strength, a strength of character. Jesus said, you know what? When he was teaching, preaching, and healing, he said to the people who came to him, he said to the rich young ruler, he said, sell all that you have and come and follow me. Moses made the same decision. He said, you know what? All that stuff that I have, I don't want it. I don't want any of it. I don't even want the smallest little bit. He just leaves. He doesn't take stuff with him. He doesn't pack the house. He just goes. And where does he go? He goes to the desert. He goes, not only does he leave everything behind, but he goes where there nothing is. Strength. Strong man. And it says not only that, but he chose to suffer affliction. Now, this is going beyond just being strong. This is going right in square into stupid. Why would you do that, you know? Why would you choose to suffer affliction? That makes no sense. And you know what? That's the message that we need to bring to the world today, right here in Chalfont. It's crazy. It's crazy. The message that we have to share is completely insane. And our message is, look, leave it all behind. Leave it all. Leave every last bit of it and come and follow Jesus. I won't get into what does it mean to leave everything behind. I have a house. I have a car. But we know, right? When we hear those words, when we hear Jesus say those words, we know what he means. And Moses knew. So he did. And why did he do that? He refused, he chose, and he esteemed. Here's why. Because he esteemed. It says this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Let's see, time check. Okay. We were going to go through some other verses. I'm going to name those verses for you. Any students out here that want to write them down and look at them later. Philippians 3, 7 to 9. I'm going to say that again. Philippians 3, 7 to 9. These are good verses. And I might go to that one. 1 Peter 4, 12. Romans 8, 18. And 2 Corinthians 4:16. They all talk about this, and they are beautiful, glorious verses. Definitely check them out. I will read Philippians 3, 7 to 9. But what things were gained to me? Now, Moses has just decided to sell all that he has, to give, to walk away from it. What things were gained to me? This is Paul speaking, and he understands the very same principle. Paul also called himself lowly, meek in that sense. Paul had that same humble heart, gentle attitude, rather willing to accept affliction, to accept being reproached, than to reproach in return. Meek. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Loss. Yet indeed, I also count all things. By the way, this word count, same word as esteemed. Hegeomai. Interesting. Same word in James where it says, I count all things joy. Count that word, hegeomai. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and I count them as garbage. Not only am I happy to leave them behind, it's junk. I don't want it. Because you know what it does? It deceives. It lies. The enemy uses it to distract, to tear my heart and the cares of my heart away from Jesus Christ. That's what the enemy does. He loves to do that. And so Paul reaffirms the same point here. He says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Faith, right? Power, strength. That's where strength comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from having faith in God. And you might think that you live in this disposable culture, and you do. We all do. A culture that wants to dispose you at the first chance that they can get if you speak anything against their ideals. If you declare that there is a right and a wrong, disposed. You're in the garbage can, man, because I can go get another one. There's plenty of them out there. I can find people who side with me and think like me, and yeah, and we can focus on things that really have literally no importance whatsoever. But we can feel like we're doing something good. Makes us feel good at night. In fact, why don't we go break some things? Yeah, that's how we're strong. If we get together, we're really strong. We can break things. How about if you just stand alone for Christ? How about that? You want strength? Okay, stand there by yourself and preach the gospel of Christ to a lost and a hurting world. That's strong. That's strength. Not getting together with a bunch of people and breaking things. 40 years, and I am wrapping it up, by the way. So no boots. 40 years, Moses spent, like me, actually it was 33 for me, getting strong, getting educated, went to the college, probably the college at Heliopolis, was the commander of the southern army for Egypt. 40 years he spent getting buff, getting strong, getting smart, making himself better than everyone else. Yeah, when they look at me, they're going to know I'm the deliverer. Just look at me. I look like a deliverer. I got big white hair. No, that's later. But and by the way, that's Charlton Heston. And but 40 years getting able. He thought he was able. I'm able to do it. And God said, "Wait a minute. I got a whole other college for you to go to. It's out in the desert. And for 40 more years, I'm going to teach you that you are not able. That you are not able. Not only are you not able, but you will be alone. You will suffer. It ain't going to be easy. You'll carve an existence out of a dead land." Yeah. This is a, I'm sign me up, man. That sounds like the college I want to go to right there. So for 40 years he gets strong. For 40 years he gets even stronger. And why is that? Because he left the first 40 behind. And he said, "Lord, you know what? It got nothing to do with muscles or education. It's got nothing to do with me. And it's got everything to do with you. than the last 40 years. Finally, God says, you graduate. You graduated my college of the desert. Come to the ceremony. It's this little bush over here in the corner of the desert, and we're going to have a little graduation ceremony for you. Take your shoes off. I got a couple things to say to you. And that's what he does. He talks to Moses. Just that alone is all I long for. That God would talk to me. You know? And if you want to have meaning, then you need to have a conversation with God. Because he'll tell you what your meaning is. He'll tell you what your purpose is. He'll show it to you. Might not be in a burning bush, but it might be at the side of your bed. Okay, wrapping it up. You know what? Jesus calls us to do the same thing that Moses did. What is that? Well, many things, but the main thing that Moses did, which was to lead the people out of Egypt. And you know what? That's the same thing that God wants every one of us to do in this room that know him. And that's to lead this people out of this Egypt. And trust me, this Egypt is far more wicked than that Egypt ever was. Just get on the internet. Oh. Oh. Grieves my soul. And you know, God says, lead them out. I want you to lead them out. And Jesus was the one that called us to do it. And he said, go teach and preach. And guess what? Healing will occur. Teach and preach the gospel, and healing will occur. I don't mean the healing of your fingers, of your toes, of the cancer. I don't mean the healing of your baby who may have had a bad ultrasound. I don't mean that. Can God do that? Of course he can. May he do it? Very well might. That's his decision. But one thing I do know he will do, because he promised to do, is that if we are willing to go and teach and preach the gospel, he will heal. He will bring a healing of the soul that can only come through one thing, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, that he paid for our sins. He died for our iniquity. Yes, iniquity. That word is not even strong enough. He died for our iniquity. Why? So that we could stand before him in the righteous, his own righteousness, in the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. That is the message. That's how we lead this world, Chalfont, Doylestown, Pennsylvania, the United States of America. That's how we lead them and the world out of Egypt. And so if we are looking for strength, we don't have it. But God says, I want one thing from you and one thing only, willingness, a willing heart. You provide the willingness and God provides the strength. And that's the only true strength there is. Amen? And so I finish on this, Philippians 4:13. Yes, I'm going to finish. There's another verse I wanted to read. No, I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. I apologize right now. I have to do this. Ephesians 3:19 and 21. Ephesians 3:19. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It exceeds our ability to understand. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able, not me, God is able. Him who is able, that's Jesus, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen. Okay, one last one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And now we pray.